Welcome into the Area Sports Podcast. I am Chandler Carney, and with me as always, Brady Scott.
What up?
Week one is in the books, and we are ready to recap it for you.
Rough week for you.
5-10. Got off to a shaky start.
Not the best.
It could have been better.
Not good.
Not pointing any fingers, but could have been done better.
For sure.
I could be honest with me though. How many bullshit games did I lose? At least four.
Well, you lost every one that we were deferred on.
So. Northwestern, yeah. Right up there, man.
I mean, they weren't going to win.
Why? They were in the game to win.
They weren't going to win there.
And KJ Costello got hurt.
Yeah. The spread on that one's the real loss.
Yeah, because it hits when Hunter Johnson fumbles the ball on the last drive. With like seconds to go.
I won a lot of close ones. But guess what? A W is a W in my book. And I'll take this one. Especially after you calling this your year and you're going to kill me.
I didn't say it was my week. I just said it was my year.
Yeah, you're not off.
You won the battle. I'm going to win the war.
I very much won the battle. I left you crippled.
Did you?
Yes.
I mean, I may take some painkillers. I'll be all right.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. After watching week one, what is the most impressive performance from you from week one? Not my picks, obviously. All my bets hit for the most part, except for one.
Oh, you need to channel that energy into who's going to win the ball game.
Dude, look, I'm good against the spread. I went 4-1.
Well, at least you're not Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, I put the over in on the Oklahoma-Houston game at 79.5.
Sweating.
Yeah, it was rough.
Speaking of Oklahoma, I'm going to say the way Jalen Hurts fit into that offense.
That was a good game.
Yeah, when you get 508 total yards of offense and about three quarters in a play, that's pretty good.
But I didn't play nobody.
I mean, who did?
Auburn did. Oregon did.
Yeah, that was it.
Yep, that game lived up to the hype.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just the most Auburn game ever. Because going in the half, they should have been down 20.
Easily.
And then Auburn's always finding a way to stay in a game and win it at the end.
Hey, a dub's a dub.
You are correct.
But, I mean, you're also right that it's the most Auburn win ever.
Yes. They shouldn't have even been in the game.
No, at all. And then they just hung around. And in the fourth quarter, they're like, you know what? We're going to beat these boys. And it's just that plain and simple.
That's what happened.
They had to lead for 9 seconds in the game. That was it. Nine seconds.
It was the last nine.
That's all that mattered. I mean, the true freshman stepped up to the spotlight.
Yeah, it wasn't his best game. But, I mean, what do you expect?
His best game.
Was it?
He's only played one. So, I would say that it's definitely his best.
I mean, no. He's playing high school.
Does that really count?
Yes.
It counts when you're in college.
How do you think he got recruited?
Okay, but does it count when you're in college?
It's not the best game he's ever played.
In Alabama high school football, you're going to hold that to playing in the SEC?
No, but I'm just saying it's not his best game.
Was there any other impressive performances for you?
I mean, even in the loss, I was very impressed with Oregon's defense.
Yeah, I mean, they just ran out of gas.
I mean, they basically controlled the line of scrimmage for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah.
I just think they ran out of gas, but those are my two most impressive things I took away from this weekend.
My most impressive performance is now, this is going to come as a shock to a lot of people, but it shouldn't. Jacob Eason.
Speaking of not playing anybody.
That's fair.
Houston's 10 times the team of Eastern Washington.
About 7 people reached out to me, and you know this because you were with me in a couple of these, and asked me, hey, man, what's a couple of good bets to place? I was like, whoever you're betting with, go check the Heisman odds and tell me what they got Jacob Eason at.
Yeah.
Most of them comes back 66-1. I said, put $20 on it.
Well, if this weekend's an indicator, it looks like it's going back to Norman again.
It's possible, but I mean, Jacob Eason comes out 27-36, 349, 4 touchdowns in his first start in over a year. That's impressive. I don't care who they're playing in a new system and everything. Like Jake Browning wouldn't have done that.
I don't think so.
I think this is the year Washington can get over the hump and getting into the playoff again.
Depends on how strong the Pac-12 is.
Well, I think the Pac-12 may be the most complete top to bottom team. Because there are a lot of scrappy teams in the middle of the pack.
It will
there.
Be the most competitive league top to bottom. It's not top heavy like the SEC and the ACC.
Yes.
But anybody can beat anybody just about in the Pac-12.
I think the only two teams that are just, well, there's three of them in my opinion, that are just awful. Oregon State, UCLA, and Arizona.
Yeah.
Those are the only teams that you're just like, man, they are down there at the bottom.
Yeah.
Other than that, everyone can compete with everybody. Yeah. And this week we're going to find out what Jacob Eason can do because he's got Cal in prime time.
What most people are calling the best secondary in the country.
And a lot of people say, well, they don't watch football. If you say that Cal's secondary is not one of the best in the country, you don't watch football.
You don't.
That defense is one of the best in the country.
We'll find out this week.
Yes. And when I say prime time, I mean prime time for California, not for, you know, down south.
Yeah. West Coast.
Yeah. West Coast prime time.
Pac-12 after dark, baby. Let's go.
So what are some things you learned from this weekend? Other than the impressive performances and everything, is there anything that you just took away from this weekend?
Not this week, but last week, starting off with some coaches who are not going to be around very long, I don't think. You go back to week zero, Kevin Sumlin's not looking too hot.
Not at all.
Staying in the Pac-12, Clay Helton's not looking too hot, especially after his quarterback goes down.
Yeah, it's a tough loss for him.
Yeah, they should have blew him out. I fell asleep. It's 31-13. Wake up to find out they won by touchdown. That's not good.
No.
And they didn't really look all that impressive with JT Daniels in there.
No. I mean, he had that pick in the end zone. They did let him throw the ball a lot while he was in. So, I mean, that air raid is offense. That's an indicator that Graham Harrell is going to spread the ball out.
Washington State didn't skip a beat with their new quarterback.
No, not at all.
And probably the biggest thing was all the transfer quarterbacks looks like they've been there their whole lives with the stats they put up. Granted, wasn't much competition, but numbers are numbers. Wins are wins.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You still have to have talent to do that on those stages. Some things I learned is that we all know that the SEC is top heavy. That it is the top six and then it's the rest of everybody else.
The top six?
I'd say there's a good top six that could compete with anyone in the country. Bama, Georgia, A&M.
No.
Florida.
No.
LSU.
I'll give you four. I won't give you six.
We'll find out this weekend when A&M plays Clemson then.
I'll give you.
Florida's defense can hang with anyone.
I just don't think so. I don't think Florida's back yet. Florida's not there
yet. I didn't say they're back. I said their defense can hang with anyone.
I'm not putting Florida in that. I'm going to give. After this week, it is Bama, Georgia, Auburn, and LSU. That's it. And we'll find
out. Auburn? You're going to buy the hype after the one game? But you're not going to be like, oh, not A&M?
I don't like it. I like Auburn's defense. I don't like A&M.
A&M's defense is better than Auburn's.
I don't. Auburn played somebody this week, though.
A&M's way better coached.
Auburn played somebody this week, though.
Okay, and A&M's going to play someone this week.
And I'll throw them in maybe next week. LSU's probably going to get bumped out next week. We'll see. Texas is trash.
Do you think LSU's going to lose?
I don't know. I think I'm going to have a hard time picking that game because I don't care too much for either. And I really don't know who's going to win. I think that's going to be a close game.
Well, yeah.
It may be decided by a field goal.
They're not all going to – those two teams are not going to put up points.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know, man. Joe Burrow threw five touchdowns.
My point was – I just don't see why this is breaking news. You know what I mean? Because they had a little rough, they had a rough weekend, and everyone's like, "Oh, well, this is supposed to be bad."
Terrible weekend.
But I mean,
it's It's a top four, and then it's everybody else fighting for
whatever. It's better than the ACC, where you have Clemson and then everybody else. It's better than the Big Ten, when it's Ohio State and the rest of the pack.
I'll say it's about even with the Big Ten, because in the Big Ten you have Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin.
They are dog doo-doo.
Who?
Wisconsin. They can't find a quarterback to save their life. If they did not have Jonathan Taylor.
But they do.
Okay, and they could not hang. He could not perform in an SEC defense with 8 stacked in a box.
Do I think Wisconsin versus LSU would be a good game? Yes, I do. And I have LSU as a 4th in the SEC right now, and Wisconsin is a 4th up there.
I think LSU would blow them out of the water.
I don't think so.
I think that if you put a spread on that game, it would be at least 2 touchdowns.
Tennessee showed you the spread don't mean nothing.
Well, the spread don't mean nothing in general. I mean,
I know.
Until you get on the field, but exactly. I'm just saying.
I just think that would be a good game.
You think that watching LSU and Wisconsin run the ball right up the middle at each other is a good game?
Not for me to watch, but a bunch of people would enjoy it.
That's what I was getting at, because you don't like that offense at all.
I'm just saying it would be a close game. People would enjoy
it. You're going to put Michigan in this, even though Florida beat the brakes off of them in the New Year's Six Bowl.
Yes.
Okay. Another thing I learned, we may as well just give Lincoln Riley a Heisman Trophy for himself to keep.
The quarterback whisper.
I mean, it's only fair. He's probably going to produce 3 Heisman Trophy quarterbacks in 3 years. I don't think Jalen Hurts will be a number one overall pick, though.
No,
he's not that good.
In that system in college, he is that good.
He is. And the last thing that I learned from this weekend is I'm still not buying this Auburn hype. I'm more of a Justin Herbert's just an above average quarterback anyway, and there was just too much hype around him going into this game. And I think that he's just another Jared Goff. What I mean by that is he's just a tall dude that NFL scouts drool over because of his size. I mean, he's 6'6", what, 225, 230?
Big guy.
He's not going to win you ball games, but he's not necessarily going to lose you ball games either. I mean, there's at least 5 quarterbacks I'd take in the country over him.
I mean, you're right. He had second drive of the game, he had the drop touchdown in the back of the end zone, followed up by the missed field goal.
Yeah.
And that was really where you score right there, I think you start to step on them. And then you come down and get more points again, because I think they stopped them the next time and came down and got another field goal. You get a touchdown, then add up, go up 17-0. I think you start to wear on them and they may quit.
I'm just saying, that offensive line, there's no excuse for losing that ball game.
No.
And if you're a number one overall pick, potentially, there's no excuse for you losing that ball game.
No. But he was not on the field for the biggest play of the game.
That's fair. But I feel like they were going to run that ball either way.
You can feel like they're going to run any way. They may have ran it, but with him on the field,
Auburn knew that we got to pick a side.
There's a possibility of the throw with Herbert there. With the backup in, you know what's coming. You can just sell out all run. If they have the balls to pull it out of his belly and throw it, tip your cap. But you know when the backup comes in, they're handing that ball off.
Well, I mean, doesn't that speak to Mario Cristobal a little bit? Because to win a game like that, you've got to be ballsy.
I think he did what anybody would have done in that situation, though. He's going to hand the ball off and say, I'm going to get behind my offensive line and we're going to get this yard.
Yeah. 5 of them versus 8 defenders. That's great math. 7 on the line if you have 2 tight ends. 8 in the box. That's good math.
I just don't think many people are going to throw it in that situation.
I mean, I would have, because you're not expecting it. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're not going to get the 4th down. They didn't get it anyway. Yeah. And I know it's easy to look back at it now and say this, but even in the moment, I was thinking the same thing.
I just think with the backup in there, you had to run it. And they knew that.
I'm just still not buying the Auburn hype. And I'm not buying the Justin Herbert is this great college football quarterback. He may go to the NFL and do great things. Jared Goff has turned it around with Sean McVay as his play caller and a great defense. But, I mean, if Herbert's going to succeed, he definitely has to be in the right position. He couldn't just go in day one and do what he needs to do. I would still take Baker Mayfield over both of those guys.
Well, yeah, me too.
And he doesn't have the size.
No, he's just a gamer.
I'll take a baller, a short guy that is just an improviser that can make plays over the guy who's 6'6", 235, and has a strong arm.
So who you taking, Sam Ehlinger or Justin Herbert?
I think in this situation, if I want to win ball games, right? Yeah. I'm gonna take Sam Ehlinger. Because at least he's been to a championship game. At least he can actually lower his shoulder and run the ball.
Yeah.
I know you hate him, but I'm just saying I would still take him over him.
I'm not taking him. You make him throw the ball, you beat Texas. Plain and simple.
He's not as terrible of a thrower as you're making him out to be. He's not Nick Fitzgerald by any means or Joe Burrow.
If he throws for 400 and beats me, my cap to him. That's just I don't think he can. I don't think he can.
400 yards is a lot of yards, though. Not many quarterbacks can throw for 400 yards.
Okay, 300. He throws for 300 and beats me. I live with that.
Okay. Pretty sure he's done that before.
Easiest defense he's going to play, he only had 250.
Against who? This past weekend?
Louisiana Tech.
He plays in the Big 12, so that might not be the easiest defense he plays all year.
It's up there.
So you talked about coaches on the hot seat getting there, and you said you think Muschamp is out this year, correct?
He's got to be done.
Interesting fact. I'm not so sure that may be the case.
He's got to go.
The buyout on his contract is pretty substantial.
They didn't find it.
South Carolina doesn't have the pocketbooks They'll find it. The season will have to be a disaster for that to happen.
Will Muschamp hadn't had a quarterback since he's been a head coach.
South Carolina knew that when they hired him.
Exactly. So it's on them. Now they have to pay for it. Literally and figuratively.
They owe him $18 million before December 30, if he's fired before December 31st.
Yeah.
If they fire him midseason, it's $22 million. I don't know. I think another 6-6 win season, even 5-7.
They're not going to a bowl.
Keeps him his job.
They're not going to a bowl.
I don't know their schedule. I mean, I know they have Bama.
They now have to win 3 conference games to go to a bowl.
They can beat Vanderbilt and Missouri.
I don't think they beat Vanderbilt.
I mean, they have a really good defense.
Yeah, but they have a really crappy quarterback. And Vanderbilt has a good quarterback, a good defense, not quarterback.
Vanderbilt, they put themselves in a hole Saturday. I don't think they're going to beat Georgia anyway.
No.
Vanderbilt, but they did put themselves in a hole early.
Vanderbilt would be well schemed for that game.
Yeah, let's stack the box, make Jake Bentley throw it. Now, Jake Bentley is a guy, if he throws for 300 yards on me,
Jake Bentley's going to throw it to the other team.
Have you ever seen a quarterback digress as much as him? The only person
I wasn't high on him anyway. I never thought he was that good.
He literally reminds me of Matt Barkley when Matt Barkley was at USC.
Matt Barkley was way better than.
Okay, but Matt Barkley's freshman year, you saw him, you're like, okay, here it is, and then after that, it's just digress.
But he's still way better than Jake Bentley.
We talk about Muschamp not being able to find a quarterback or anything, but have you seen his son play quarterback?
No.
He's pretty awful.
Well.
So it just runs in the family.
How about you hire somebody who can find one? I mean, all these years, you think you'd at least get one. He hasn't had one. That ain't it, Chief.
Not even that.
He's terrible.
Get somebody that knows how to groom somebody. If Jake Bentley's your starter anyway.
He's got to go. I don't think Jake Bentley should start another game for South Carolina. I don't care who the backup is. Your last three possessions, North Carolina, you have a chance to win the game. Win the game three times. Pick. You have a chance. Throw it in the end zone twice. You drop back, strip sack. They go down and score as time runs out. Unacceptable. You can't. No. If I'm the head coach, he may come back and play later, but he is sitting next week for sure. You can't get any worse. We can't get any worse at the position than you were in the fourth quarter on Saturday. So you're going to sit here and you're going to watch somebody else do it. And maybe that'll click something for him. Who knows? But that probably would have been, if I'm the coach, his last game.
I think he's exhausted all potential. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you by any means. I think he's terrible.
You can't get any worse with who you throw out there.
I mean, you're yelling at me like I'm saying he's great. Yeah, I was high. I was on him. I was wrong. I admit it. I apologize.
He's ass. Terrible. He should not play football anymore. He should retire from football.
Do you think Jeremy Pruitt's seat got hotter Saturday?
It's terrible. It's at Tennessee, though. Tennessee's been going in this direction for a long time. I don't think it matters who they hired.
But this is a huge step back.
Yeah, you got beat by Georgia State. This is like when we got beat by Jacksonville State.
Okay, I think those are two very different scenarios. Yeah, yes, it happened.
Same thing.
But we weren't trying to trend upwards at the top.
Yeah, but when is Tennessee not trying to trend upwards when they're up?
I mean, they're always trying to trend up. They just can't ever get there.
Exactly.
I don't know. I feel the former just doesn't come out of retirement and coach these boys.
That's the only thing that'll save Tennessee because nobody wants that job right now. The stadium was empty at halftime.
Why not go get David Cutcliffe?
I don't think he's got many more years in him and he ain't going to leave Duke.
People said the same thing about Matt Brown, and then he said, I'm going to go to North Carolina and guide them through these years again, and then I'm going to retire.
I just think Cutcliffe is near the end, and he's going to ride out whatever he rides out with Duke.
That's fair.
Tennessee's in a bad spot. I wish we played them this year.
Does Matt Luke's seat get warmer after Saturday?
I mean, for me,
in a realistic standpoint, with everything that's going on at the university, you don't think so?
No. I saw something today. While I really don't want to agree with it, it was smart. I mean, we get rid of Matt Luke, we start over again, depending on who you get. Do I think he's good? No. I think we need to get rid of him. But, I mean, depending on who you get, then you're starting over again.
Here's what I think was supposed to happen when Matt Luke got the job. Do I think it was backdoor politics, buddy-buddy stuff? 110%. Is that true?
A&M's about to find out how bad Ross Bjork is.
I think that Ross Bjork felt like, maybe not even Ross Bjork, but maybe it was just a sense of the state of the program at that time. No big-time coach was going to come in here for that job and turn it around. And we needed someone to guide us through those dark times and keep the ship afloat. Matt Luke was the guy that wanted it. Matt Luke's the guy that got it. And I think he's the guy that got that done as far as getting us through those 3 years.
That's over.
When a new chancellor's named and a new AD's named.
That's it.
We said it in the preview show. If we lose to Memphis, we feel like this is a 3-win team.
He wins three games, he's out.
Especially if there's a new chancellor and AD named. His days are numbered, and they're not many.
Got to go.
And the ship really could sink fast in a hurry if we lose Nick this week.
We lose Saturday.
There's going to be a lot of backlash in the city of Oxford.
There may be 10,000 people at the game the following week. We lose Saturday. There will be nobody.
Yeah, you're right.
Nobody will show up.
I don't blame them. Rich Rod's offense looked absolutely horrible. Let's just recap that game since we're on this topic. The offense just looked absolutely horrible, and I don't know if Rich Rod was trying to ease the young, inexperienced quarterback, offensive line, receivers into the game, but whatever it was, it didn't work. and it was terrible.
He's got a
terrible play calling all the way around the board.
I'm not as upset about that game as I should usually am upset about when we lose.
I mean, it's kind of expected, yeah, but at the same time, you got to have more hope.
I just wasn't upset because I hadn't seen defense like that in years.
I mean, if you have to give the program over to somebody mid-season, it ain't Rich Rod.
It's McIntyre. Crowell's got to figure it out.
Receivers have to learn how to get separation.
And he's got 4 more weeks to figure it out. Or I'm turning to the freshman. The true freshman.
Which one? Tisdale? Plumlee?
Either one.
Kincaid Dent?
No.
No, not him. He's not in it?
No.
You realize every other scholarship quarterback is a true freshman.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
I'm turning it over to Tisdale or Plumlee and are seeing which one of them can do it. Because if he ain't got it figured out past Bama, I give him that game. If he hasn't shown improvement, because I think he's the guy. I believe he's the guy. And once he settles down and doesn't try to do too much, he tried to do too much Saturday. Corral tried to do too much Saturday, in my opinion. He looked like he was trying to win the game by himself. And you can't do that. Play within yourself and do what you do, and we'll be fine. Because it will come. The offensive line, once they get more reps, they'll be better. He had no time.
The one thing that really just blows my mind, we run the ball up the middle all game, and then we get backed in our own end zone and we want to take a step back and try to throw it.
I just think we do that because we're getting blown up on the line all day, and I think he thought if he runs the ball there, it's a safety.
You get the ball out quick then.
I just truly think he thought that was a safety if he runs the ball there. And that's why he didn't.
Spoiler alert, it was a safety either way.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know.
We have a chance to win that ball game.
I'm not as upset as I usually would be about that. Because I think the offense will improve and will come along. And praying the defense continues to improve off what they showed.
All right, so let's move on to a different game. Oregon Auburn, that was the biggest game of the night. I felt like it did live up to the hype week 1.
It did.
Bo Nix didn't look great, but he stepped up when he needed to step up. And nobody could have been happier for that than Gus Malzahn.
No, he needed that one. His seat cooled down.
A little bit, yes.
I think he's got his quarterback for the next 3 years.
I think so, too. I mean, I told a couple Auburn fans that, look, when Bo Nix gets there,
He didn't look great, but he was comfortable in the system.
There were definitely other true freshman quarterbacks that looked better than him, yeah, but
he was comfortable.
None of them had as big of a stage as he did.
No. And that Auburn offense is complicated.
Yeah. And Gus Malzahn's back to calling those plays.
Because just about every play, he has something to read.
Yeah.
Where he should give, keep, throw, where to throw. Every play. It's not just rarely does he have a run play where it's just a straight give in that offense. Everything's a read.
I think that he'll be the quarterback, the true freshman quarterback, that is, that will progress every single week. Yeah. And you'll notice it every single week. And by the time maybe he gets down to LSU, Tuscaloosa, and then going to Alabama and stuff, and maybe more prepared for those environments.
Yeah. And I think you'll see the same progression with Corral.
You think that he'll progress the same way Bo Nix progresses?
I think he'll obviously get better every week.
I don't think the problem is as much as Corral progressing as it is, honestly, this offensive line and these young receivers. This is a very young – you returned, like, what, 2 starters?
Yeah.
And Givens barely played. He was on a snap count. So, you returned Scotty Phillips. The receivers –
and it's going to take a couple weeks.
I understand it. But I really think I'm not losing hope in Matt Corral.
No.
Not after 1 week.
No.
I'm not losing hope in Rich Rod and his system after 1 week. Do I think that it's a little sketchy? Yes.
They're going to find their rhythm, and we're going to be 10 times better at the end of the season than we were at Memphis.
The only question is is it going to be too late? I mean, that is the only question.
We'll see. To be determined.
With Boise State and that Florida State game get moved up a little bit, we caught a couple glimpses of it. Boise State completes the comeback.
Also, thank you.
Also, one of the games that I say is bullshit that I lost.
Yeah, Florida State was up, had 31 before half, and they finished with 31, and they can't pick up the fumble on the 3-yard line when it's Florida State versus Florida State trying to get it.
That was awful. But, I mean, that was Florida State for you.
It just wasn't meant to be.
It wasn't.
It was not meant to be this week. This may be the best week I have all year.
But, I mean, we're talking about true freshman quarterbacks and impressive performances. And this guy for Boise State, true freshman, and Doak Campbell, I mean, that's not an easy environment to be in, even with the state of Florida State right now. And 30 for 51, 407 yards and a touchdown. Hank Bachmeier, he may be that next group of five player that you see, that you hear a lot about, like Mackenzie Milton.
Brandon Wimbush is going to have a good year in UCF system.
Yeah. He looked really good too. I think the Boise State comeback is definitely an impressive victory. And it shows that Boise State really is, hey, we're small, but we are fearless.
They're my pick for the best group of five team this year.
I think that's a good pick.
It's them versus UCF.
Honestly, I think Memphis will beat UCF this year. I think this will be the year that that happens.
I don't think so.
We'll have to wait and see, obviously.
Yeah. I just think that UCF will score too much points for Memphis to keep up with.
I don't know what their defense, UCF's defense looks like. You know, we didn't get a chance to watch them.
No, but I just think UCF will outscore them like they have done in the past 2 years.
Yeah. Wimbush will definitely be the catalyst of that offense.
And I think if he has a year that he probably will have, it's going to hurt Mackenzie Milton. Because it's not Mackenzie Milton, it's the system now. Sort of like you can say at Oklahoma now. It's not the quarterback as much as it is the system.
I mean, that, show me an Oklahoma quarterback in recent years who hasn't shone in college football.
I can't.
Jason Watt, I mean, he literally won a Heisman. Threw for 10,000 yards. You got Landry Jones, Trevor Knott. I mean, Trevor Knott did get beat out. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, now Jalen Hurts. Lincoln Riley has just done it in a different dynamic than Bob Stoops did.
Yeah.
He doesn't go out and recruit those blue-collar guys right now. He's been getting his transfer guys. And then he's got a guy sitting on the bench that I'm pretty sure he's confident in because he didn't play him tonight because he wants that red shirt.
He wants him redshirted. If you don't know who we're talking about, that is Spencer Rattler.
He is definitely
the
quarterback.
He's going to be the one that has a chance to do it for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, he'll be Baker Mayfield. Yeah. Baker Mayfield had that chance.
Yep.
And we see what happened with it.
2 playoffs.
Yeah. And
they will continue to run the Big 12.
I think the only team that really is going to challenge them.
They always struggle against Iowa State. That's their struggle game. And then Texas challenges them.
Well, I mean, if this past weekend is any indicator, they may not struggle with Iowa State.
We'll see. You never know.
What about the quarterback for Northern Iowa? Was he not a baller?
He had a game.
Yes.
He had a game.
And that offensive line at Northern Iowa, either they are really huge or he's just really small. Because they're standing next to each other, and it's just.
I think he's one of those 5'11 guys.
Well, yeah, one of the 6-foot guys.
Yeah.
That was I understand the circumstances for Iowa State fans, and you don't want to be in that position, but that was a really exciting game for people who just a third party outsider who likes close games.
Yeah, that was a nice time filler for us.
It was exciting. Very exciting. And as we get ready to wrap up this podcast, I do want to mention that I did have a tough week, 5-10 picking. To all my fans out there, I promise I'll bounce back next week. But Brady Scott wants to toot his own horn a little bit.
Got to while I can. It doesn't happen often.
Both of our dogs, our Super Dolls, Air Raid Dolls, won this week. South Alabama covered. Georgia State, which was Brady's 26-point spread team, they won outright. And so we're gonna give him a little golf clap for it.
Just so you know, I had no idea about Georgia State. I was just banking on Tennessee being ass.
But let me tell you, man, if you have to bet on that every week, that's a great bet.
Yeah, I don't think I'll get that line again for Tennessee game.
Speaking of lines, there's something that I will give advice to some people out there if you bet. Keep an eye on the Clemson-Texas A&M line because some places have it right now at 20 under. Our friends over at BetSports, they have it at 18 under. That line has a potential to shift lower, so you may want to take it early if you can because I don't think that this is going to be a 20-point game.
You think A&M keeps it within 20?
I think it'll be a 17-point game.
I don't think it's close.
17 points really close.
Yeah, for that one. I think Clemson boat races them.
I don't think we'll see. Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M.
I'll discuss more when I pick it.
Okay. I just don't think you're giving them enough respect.
Nope.
And you know I'm not a Jimbo guy by any means.
Nope.
Do you have any final thoughts as we close out this podcast?
Favorite football movie?
My favorite football movie?
Yeah.
There's some good ones out there. I'd have to go with Varsity Blues. It's got a little bit of everything in it.
It's up there.
What's yours?
It's either Varsity Blues or Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans is great, but here's the thing. When we're talking about great movies, yes, Denzel Washington uniting a segregated town through high school football is great.
Not everybody has the same qualifications of the greatest movie as you do, though.
Varsity Blues has it all, man, okay? We're talking football. We're talking comedy. We're talking underage drinking, drugs, nudity. It's got everything. Doping. An asshole coach who's actually a villain. The villain that's in Remember the Titans is racism, is segregation. And Denzel Washington unites the town over it, which is great. Great movie. I think Varsity Blues just has a little bit of everything in it.
It's a great movie.
Okay.
Tweet us your thoughts.
So, since we did favorite football movie, what is your favorite football show?
I don't know.
I think there's only one. It's Friday Night Lights.
I never watched it.
Oh, man. Come on now.
Never seen it.
It's a great show.
Roast me in the comments. I don't care.
I don't think there's that many shows.
There's not.
Yeah, you got that new one, that All-American one. I hadn't seen it either. What's it? Football shows. I mean, are we talking shows that focus primarily on football? Because in the third season of 13 Reasons Why, they play football.
No, that's not a football show.
They play football in Riverdale.
That's not a football show.
So what does it have to happen to be a football show? It has to revolve around the football?
Yeah.
It has to actually show them playing football like once an episode?
Pretty close to it.
That's like One Tree Hill. It started out as, you know, a basketball show.
Yeah. And then it
graduated high school and it wasn't basketball that much.
It went where it went.
It went up. It was a good show.
It went where it went. Hadn't seen all that either.
All right. Well, we hope that you have a great week and hope you tune in next week as we give our picks and everything else. With that being said, see y'all later.